702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
As per usual, around about this time on a Sunday morning, Tim Neary, our CSI Nature Conservation Specialist, brings us some interesting and compelling conversations around our natural world. And this morning, we're taking a look at the work being done around the removal of invasive plants in the Greater Cape Town region. The Nature Conservancy-led Greater Cape Town Water Fund has secured funding from JP Morgan for a 2-year project to remove invasive plants in priority source water areas in the Greater Cape Town region. So let's delve into it. The benefits, of course, the scope, the range of this project, the work at hand, and say a very, very good morning to Tim Neary. Hi, Tim. Trust you well today.
Good morning. Yes, I am seething in some areas, but I am well, thank you kindly. At least it's raining nicely. And there's just one thing I do want to say to folks. No, we're not ignoring this whole, the east coast of South Africa with the seismic blasting, etc. I'm just trying to find the right expert, because it's a very scary thing, and I think it would be very nice. The more studies need to be done, the judge and all say. Maybe we should just take the judge, the minister, and a couple of executives, pop them into one of those diving bells, and let them experience what it's like for a while. I'm pretty sure things would change dramatically quickly. But we'll get the right expert.
So now that you put it like that, Tim, we'll wait for the right expert. And I think, you know, what we really do want as well is a sense of where this kind of seismic blasting has taken place, and some empirical research on what happened there. But yeah, it is scary times indeed, and it is just underwhelming or disappointing that such big decisions can happen, as the local communities there have said, without the requisite just conversation, as well as seeking input from them, as is being alleged. And yeah. We'll be watching this space and waiting for you to bring us this conversation.
It's all around money. But let's get into the water thing, seeing as it's raining nicely.
All right, fantastic. So talk to us about your own, or how you bumped up against this rather compelling project, this 2-year project that stands to have benefits for young women, young adults, and economically disadvantaged local communities there in the Western Cape.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that came across my desk with information on it, and I rather like the fact that it's creating jobs and it's doing something. And I'm always interested in these projects where we're removing aliens. How do we manage it into the future? Why are we doing it? How do we lay claim when we say the aliens are using X amount of water? How do we know that? And, you know, we've got to be very careful as well. Just remember that, an alien, all aliens are basically plants of the planet. But we need to know more about them. And also, one's got to remember that they're not all of our own plants in South Africa. Not all of our indigenous plants are great. Some of them are also very water intensive, etc. And it's more about changing landscapes, to my mind, then, it doesn't matter whether it is a plant from Europe, South America, or a different part of South Africa, but it's changing the landscape, and I think that's one of the things to look at. But yeah, let's find out more about how the project came about and some of its successes, and it's had a couple of successes already.
All right, lovely. On that note, Louise Stafford is the Program Director of the Nature Conservancy South Africa. Louise, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time today. As Tim has said, the genesis of the project, you've secured this 2-year funding from JP Morgan. Hi.
Good morning, Anselwe, and good morning to the listeners and to Tim. Thank you for the opportunity to share a bit of our work with you.
Sure.
Very excited about it, because this is the message, and just listening to what you shared before we started this call, this is another thing that we need to keep our eyes fixed on, and see how we can work to improve the environment rather than damage it.
Absolutely. Talk to us about the scope of the project and, as Tim said, successes or achievements made thus far. When did everything kick off?
Yeah, so in 2016, the Nature Conservancy and the City of Cape Town started negotiations and scoped a water fund for the Greater Cape Town region, because the city realized that it was just before that very terrible 3-year drought that we had, and predictions are that climate is changing and Cape Town would run out of water. And to avoid that, the city had to look at different options, and one of it is fixing the catchments where the water comes from. And that's how it started. I can also just mention that this water fund is based on lessons that we learned across the globe. There are 43 operating water funds. Since the Nature Conservancy started with this initiative of water funds back in 2000 in the city of Quito in Ecuador, when that city faced a water crisis. So water funds are based on science. So Tim said, how do we know that we actually lay claim to this water benefit? So we're using very sophisticated models that to quantify how much water we're losing. And then we look at where do we lose most water. That's again based on scientific models. And then so that's basically how we determine where to work, how much water we can potentially reclaim. As I said, it's based on science with very sophisticated models.
Go ahead, Tim.
The type of areas that you work in, Louise, what in fact are you removing, and what are you hoping to return back into its area?
We're removing pine trees mostly. It's very high up in the catchment of the Western Cape water supply system. That's where Cape Town gets its water from. It's a very complex integrated system with multiple dams, pipes that connect the dams, and the water comes from the higher mountains, the catchments, runs in the rivers, get to the dams. And if there's something that takes the water out of those the rivers, it prevents the water from reaching the rivers, we have to remove it. And in this case, it's mostly pine trees.
When you say they are stopping the water getting to the rivers, that's the thing that interests me. How, in fact, are the trees doing this? Because effectively, the tree is taking water out of the ground. By the time it gets to a reasonable size, it's not taking surface water, and it's then expiring that water back into the atmosphere. So there is a cycle that happens at that point, but you're trying to get it back into the rivers. How is the tree stopping that process from water downfall into river?
If one look at how the mountains or the ground works, you can compare that to a sponge. So if it rains, the water goes into the sponge, and then if you squeeze the sponge, the water comes out. Now that is how the environment works. So it rains, the water goes in, or it runs down in rivers, but it falls on the land. So the land receives the water, and then the plants take what they need. And then during the summer in the Cape, we get winter rain. And during the summer, the water gets slowly released into the rivers, and you get this consistent flow of the rivers and trickle that keeps filling up the dams. Now, when you have pine trees that have very big root systems that are not adapted to this environment, the pine trees take up more water than the fynbos, which is the indigenous species, plant species that we get here, and it doesn't get released as much as it would have if the pine in the absence of the pine trees. Now, one pine tree is one thing, but now in our case, you have a carpet of 10-20 year old pine trees, and they take up a lot of water. And then it prevents it from reaching the rivers.
The areas that you're looking at now, these are obviously not forest or managed forests. These are escape trees that over time have moved into open areas, etc. Am I correct in that statement?
Yeah, pine trees, the pine trees that we're dealing with escape from the timber forests, and pines have a wind-blown seed. So in our southeastern, when you have pine trees in a plantation and it has seeds, it blows, and the wind comes, it blows the seeds very high up in the mountain. And that's what making pines so dangerous in this sense, because it can invade areas that's inaccessible by humans or by machinery that we can normally remove it, and it causes damage high up in the catchments where we need every drop of water to flow into the rivers, and that's what the pines prevent. So yeah, pines is particularly harmful in this sense.
I must interject and say there's this funny image that keeps on popping up in my mind every time you talk about escaped trees. And I imagine trees on the run or trees on the move, which is hardly the case.
Yeah, they run at night. They loop, they jump at night out of the ground onto their roots, and then they rush off to another area.
Sounds absolutely enthralling. Louise, you know, give us a sense of your aim is to clear 300 hectares of invasive alien plants. The time that it takes, how incremental, just give us a sense of the pace of this type of work, and of course, who is on the ground doing this clearing? Who is involved in this project? I understand there are benefits for women owned businesses and young adults as well.
Yeah, so the ultimate objective is clearing pine trees or any invasive trees, not a once-off. So it's a long-term process. The Greater Cape Town waterfront, the lifespan of the waterfront is 30 years. So we need to keep on doing this for 30 years if we want to get on top of the problem. So, but we don't have time on our side. We need to turn the current water losses that's caused by the plant, the pine trees in the mountains, we have to turn that into gains. So through the modeling, we calculated that we're losing 55.5 billion liters of water every year. This equates to 2 months' water for Cape Town. And if we can, we don't have time on our side. You know, it rains now. Our dams seem to be full, but the demand is already outstripping the supply. Unless we keep getting water into the system, Cape Town runs the risk of running out of water even without a drought. So the area that's invaded is it's quite a large area, the water supply system, but we're focusing on 7 priority subcatchments where we can get this highest turnaround. And that is 55,500 hectares. So through the work and the contribution of JP Morgan, we are able to clear 300 of that 55,000 hectares. And we aim to do that. We have to do it to turn this water losses into gains within 6 years. So we're looking at the Greater Cape Town Waterfront in 2 components. The one is the 6-year high impact phase, and that started in 2019. So far, we've cleared 20,000 of the 55,000 hectares. We still have a long way to go. And your question about how long it takes, you know, if you look at the landscape, you look at a mountain, you can often see high up in the mountain, there's a pine, it's almost, if one can compare it, it's like a cancer of the environment. You see these pine trees creeping up the mountains. And unless you stop that invasion, they become denser and they become more and the trees grow bigger. So we use, it's very labor intensive to remove them. It's inaccessible. So we train teams in high angle. So that means people have to go into the mountainous areas. They can't get there by foot. So we fly them in by helicopter. We drop them off, and they stay there for about 12 days.
Okay.
And then we fetch them. They come home, and then they go back. And we did something that's never been done before. We opened this opportunity to small businesses. It used to be government only. And government doesn't have these specialized teams. Government cannot get on top of this problem on its own. So we now have small businesses that access this highly specialized work,
mm-hmm.
and we also have to get the training, and that's where Tracy Morgan's funding is focused to help us to get the training to specialized teams.
There is the regrowth of the actual fynbos. I mean, fortunately, if a pine is dropped, it usually it's 4 to 6 years, and it will have disintegrated, which is kind of good for you. And it doesn't root coppice, so that's also or coppice itself, so that's also handy. But the return of the fynbos, does that happen fairly quickly?
It depends on how many pines there were. So sometimes you get 1 or 2 or 3 pines in a landscape. When you cut them down, the fynbos recovers quickly. But if it's a very dense infestation, like I explained, it looks like a lawn of big trees. When you cut them down, they've already done significant damage. And often there's no fynbos under them. So you've got to give the fynbos a chance. That takes much longer. And what we try at this, when we cut down the trees, we can't just leave them there because it covers the soil. So you've got to stack them in a certain way to allow the fynbos to regenerate, and then go back and keep getting rid of the small pines that pop up. The other thing that we have in the Western Cape is fires. Fynbos need fires to rejuvenate or to renew. And the mountain fynbos needs to burn about 12 to 15, every 12 to 15 years. Otherwise, it stops seeding. Now, if you have pine infestation in a fynbos area that need to burn and a fire comes through, it scorches the earth because pines burn up to 10 times hotter than fynbos. So now, Tim, this is now the problem, because we can say it takes so many years to recover, but if a fire goes through a pine infestation area, then it takes so much longer because you don't have that seed bank, that because it's been scorched and it's been outcrowded by the pines. So what we do is we have a monitoring program, and the monitoring program look at five things, and two of those are important for this conversation. The one is hydrological, how much water do we actually gain? So we have science. We've got a scientific experiment where we installed water loggers to log how much water. It's in four rivers. So we installed water meters there, loggers. We measure the rainfall, we measure the runoff, and the water temperature. And we do that for 6 years.
And we're going to have to leave it right there, but Louise Stafford is a program director of the Nature Conservancy South Africa. Really important conversation on the Nature Conservancy-led Greater Cape Town Water Fund effort to remove invasive plants and priority source water areas in the Greater Cape Town region. As per usual, Tim bringing us that fascinating conversation.